Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Joined in studio by Dick Christie, the athletic director at North Carolina Pembroke. And when I first received word that you were going to be around, they said, you want to talk to Dick Christie? And I'm like, well, is that in relation to the NC State legend? And as it turns out, yes. I know you spent some time at State.
So you were supremely disappointed when grandson, not the Dick Christie.
No, definitely not disappointed. So
no, been a State fan my whole life. Grew up in Philadelphia area, so we didn't get a lot of coverage. But I did my college work in North Carolina, small school, and then did my graduate work at State.
So you were a golfer at Wingate.
I was four-year golfer, and then got to come into State and intern in the athletic department. Just kind of inched my way up. But was always a Wolfpack fan, so getting a chance to work there and get behind the scenes, that was a great way to start a career in college athletics. It was definitely surreal as a fan.
No question. Yeah. Seeing your grandfather's name all over the place.
Yeah. So the my freshman year in college, first year in North Carolina, Les Robinson was AD at NC State, and they retired his football jersey. So that was really neat. So I got a chance to come in. He found out I was a sport management major, and you know we talked that weekend. He said, "Hey, I'd love to help you get your career started." And when somebody in that role says something like that, you try not to lose that. So we kept in touch, just wrote a couple letters here and there through my college career, and he made good on that promise. Literally when I started, he retired like a month later. Lee Fowler came in.
Okay.
And, you know, it just worked out for me. I was fortunate with the timing.
You've been at UNC Pembroke now. This is year 11.
11 seasons is crazy.
It is. How, before I get into recent developments with the sports wagering bill, which I know impacts your school.
Yeah.
How have the decade and a year, how has it progressed? Where are you today versus where were you when you took over?
Yeah, I don't think anybody is fully prepared for what comes at you in the AD chair. So, you know, the cadence of it has gotten easier over the decade. But, you know, we've had a lot of things that go our way as well. We're in a conference that's a little bit better
geographic
fit 2 years in, and the leadership is fantastic. We have an unbelievable chancellor. He's just a visionary leader and loves athletics. That's a huge thing. I've found that these jobs are only as good as your president. I've had a really good job based on who I get to work for. So that's pretty cool. And it's definitely what's kept me at Pembroke, because I feel like we're just kind of scratching the surface of what we're capable of under his leadership. But you know, our teams, you know, we've been on a tear. So I think last weekend we won the women's soccer championship. So that was our 10th championship in 13 months. So that's not a usual occurrence. I've told our staff, soak it in and, you know, enjoy the people that are around you, because this doesn't happen all the time.
Oh, no. Now this has to be that way. You know how it goes.
Yeah.
Once you start winning, our hockey team here, they're 9-7, playing badly at 9-7. And people are like, what's wrong? Like, well, we're playing badly and we're 9-7. So
they got 80 some games. So just take our time.
That's the bar. But welcome to the land of expectations.
Yesterday's favor is tomorrow's expectation.
Dick Christie is the athletic director at UNC Pembroke. Let's get into the nuts and bolts of the sports wagering bill and how it impacts. And we haven't even started yet. We don't have the ability. We don't have the mechanisms in place to actually do it, although we know that we're headed that way. But in order to get this done, to get this through the state legislature, there were provisions where monies would be set aside and directed directly to schools that wouldn't otherwise have, you know, been able to reap the benefits. So how does the sports wagering bill benefit Pembroke and some other local, you know, smaller schools, but how does it benefit Pembroke?
Yeah, it is, to say it's a blessing and a lifeline is no understatement. I mean, we were really, really at a major crossroads when you got to COVID.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of, not to mention the financial impact of the testing and just attrition and furloughing employees and all that kind of thing. But when students started to take their education online and more online programs exploded, North Carolina is unique in how the UNC system was funded. You only could touch an athletic fee to support athletics. And at a smaller school, that was the lion's share of your revenue.
So 92%?
That's the average for D2.
Right.
So it's hard to get to when it's restricted to just one fee. You know, if you're in Missouri or somewhere else, you can be a public school. And those presidents and chancellors have the latitude to use other colors of money to fund athletics as they see fit. Our chancellors don't have that latitude.
Okay.
So this is really the first time that North Carolina has taken a step to diversify the revenues that could support athletics. So it is a monumental change, and it's perfect timing. So we're really appreciative to the legislature and really appreciative of the Board of Governors leadership for looking at the economic impact, thinking about it big picture. You know, there's obviously big impacts for us, but when you think statewide, you solidify the Panthers and the Hurricanes, right? Like we as a state, you really didn't have a huge choice when you looked at where other states were going. So to be able to find a synergy where these resources are going to impact economic benefit in a lot of small towns where athletics is the only show in town, like Pembroke, North Carolina, it's a big deal. So for us, as much as we'd like to say it's new money, right now it's just replacing resources that we've lost since COVID.
All right. So what ultimately will be coming your way? It depending on how you read it, there's either $1 million yearly payment, or it could be less depending, or more. So what exactly are you expecting out of this legislation and when we are all allowed to go and lose money gambling?
To the legislature's credit, again, this is going to be an amp up process, right? They're going to have to get the programs going. So there's not going to be an immediate revenue stream. So the legislature created a stopgap fund based on what they think sports betting will ultimately accrue. So there is $1 million in funding going to the 10 institutions starting this year. And then as that upstart funding ends, the hope is that the sports betting revenue will then replace it or exceed it. Some projections they've had are, you know, upwards of $1.5 million per school, but time will tell if that's where it goes. But this was a great first step to at least start thinking outside of the student fee for how do we make athletics work at the smaller schools.
And what will that do? What would $1 million do for Pembroke in terms of helping you pay salaries, maintain fields? What are we talking about?
For UNCP, if you went all in with every dime that we spend and the classes that our coaches teach and all these different things, at most we're, you know, $6 million and change that we're investing in athletics. So if you get, you know, $1 million is a major shot in the arm for a budget that size. Unfortunately for us, if you look at our fee revenues in 2019 before COVID and you look at them now, we're $1.1 million down. So right now it's just trying to keep the lights on and keep doing what we're doing and servicing now. Now in the future, if it can reach its potential, that's where we can start looking at, you know, expansion in nutrition, expansion in athletic training, expansion in mental health, all the things that are key needs right now that we've kind of had to put on the side burner as a small institution. But, you know, for the D1s, there's 6 D1 schools that are in this legislation. Mm-hmm. You got the 3 non-bowl subdivisions in Central, Western Carolina, and A&T. And
right.
You have the 3 1AAAs with Wilmington, Greensboro, and Asheville. And for them, the transformation committee with D1, which I'm sure you've talked about before.
My passion about ancestry comes from the fact that I was an only child who didn't have family. I see all my friends doing family outings and family this, and I would spend weekends just lost in ancestry. My first one that I found was Liz.
I was also an only child, and there were no big holiday gatherings where I got to know cousins or aunts. It's because of ancestry that we've kind of become bi-coastal besties.
The holidays are meant to be shared with family. Start today during our holiday sale at Ancestry.com.
In August, they implemented mandatory minimums now for mental health counselor on staff, 2 extra years of health insurance.
Right.
So for those schools, you know, the money's probably spent before they even get it. So it's really a key time, and I was super appreciative that they saw the need and how soon it was. You know, everybody was on the brink.
Yes. So you want to get this started in February.
Well, the stopgap funding is moving, and the system is working on how that gets deployed.
Right, but my point is that the sooner we get to everybody being able to do it, the more the industry can grow. Because what we have seen over the course of the last several years,
correct,
is that the numbers that states who have had it for 3 or 4 years, mm-hmm. the numbers today are dramatically higher than the numbers when it was first implemented, as people start kicking their corner bookmakers aside. I just said that. That has nothing to do with anything. Dick Christie is the athletic director at UNC Pembroke here on the Adam Gold Show. Thank you very much for coming into the studio, by the way. I want to ask you a quick question about the rivalry. You've got the Two Rivers rivalry in football with Fayetteville State.
Yeah.
All right. I was trying to think what the Two Rivers are. I'm just going to guess. I really don't know. PD and Santee?
The good guess is because the Lumber River does dump into PD.
Oh, okay, Lumber River and
Cape Fear.
Oh, Cape Fear. Oh, the Cape Fear's up here, too.
Yeah. Cape Fear runs right by Fayetteville State's campus. We're right down by the Lumber, so they...
You've done well in that.
We have. We were able to earn the trophy back this year, first year of our new football coach, so that was exciting. We got Fayetteville State at home. Unfortunately, we had to reschedule because of potential hurricane impacts, but we still had a great crowd, and a nail-biter of a game, came back and won late in the fourth quarter. So,
what are crowds? Stadium seats, what, 4,000?
Actual seating, we got about 4,500, but you know, when we're good and we have a game time that doesn't conflict with State and Carolina, you know, with our fan base, that matters. We have plenty of double season ticket holders. We can push it up 6,000, 7,000, just depends.
Fire Marshal turning the other way.
It's standing room, so it's good. We're outside, but. The first game I was in Pembroke, so 2013, they were doing very well in football. We were on national TV. Very first game out of the gate, we were the CBS Division II Game of the Week.
Oh, wow.
And we were playing Winston-Salem State on a Thursday night, and we probably had 8,500 people there. Unfortunately, I hadn't seen a crowd like that since that first game, but we're working back towards it.
Well, you started with a bang here.
Yeah.
Can I get your I'm curious. We spend a lot of time here. And mostly what I do is I point out the hypocrisy of big money college athletics and how they, all of these administrators, they're always talking about student athlete welfare and all of that. And we all know the deal. It's 100% about how we need more money. And I understand it. I just wish they weren't pretending that it was something other than that, because there's no other reason for Southern Cal and Rutgers to be in the same conference. There's no other reason for North Carolina and Stanford to be in the same conference. One means a lot less money than the other. But what is your view of everything that we have seen? And I think it's gotten worse over the last 5 years than it was 10 or 15 years ago when the ACC expanded to Miami and those schools. What's your view of that?
It's just too much money at stake. You know, if there were not so many egos in the room, if we were smart, we would have looked at football in its own sense a long time ago and figured out what makes sense with football and TV and how, you know, maybe they're in a different conference. Maybe they're called a league. Maybe there's something different.
Right.
It's not going to change the value on the TV side if we can structure it the right way and get the right metros in there. But there's, you know, you got conference commissioners with a lot of control, and they're not going to want to give up that nugget. And with the way it's not under the NCAA's umbrella from a postseason standpoint, that didn't happen. And now we're stuck dragging a volleyball team to Cal to play a conference game, and it is where we are.
Well, because that has been floated around as where we may end up, with football being separate from everything. And it's unfortunate that football, and we'll just say men's basketball, wouldn't be lumped together, because they are two major. One makes the lion's share of the money for the NCAA. The other, the NCAA has nothing to do with, which is probably better anyway. I do think we're headed to a time where football is completely separate. Also, football might be like look completely different 5 years from now than it does now. Let me ask this.
At least for those upper 40 schools or so, 50 schools.
Yeah. What it may look like is like the Premier League. Mm-hmm. We may have three levels of maybe 15 or 16 schools in each and have promotion and relegation up and down the ladder. And, you know, and maybe that's good for college football. I don't know what the answer is. People will always be a fan of their school. They, like Pembroke.
No doubt.
You're going to have fans. Mm-hmm. State's going to have fans. Carolina's going to have fans. Duke's going to have fan. I don't know. Nate, that's my little joke on Duke.
Morgan's a Duke fan, so that one cut deep.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Look, they were legit. Legitimately good. Like if Riley Leonard doesn't get hurt, if they stop Sam Hartman on 4th and 16, like I'm not even gonna lie, they could be a top 8 team right now. I thought they were that good defensively.
We played them in basketball 2 weeks ago. I can tell you they're that good.
Basketball is very good.
All our fans were saying, "Are you excited?" I was like, "I have no good memories in this building. Why would I be excited to go to Cameron Indoor Stadium?"
But it had to be a great experience for the guys.
For our kids, it was fantastic. I mean, we were starstruck in the beginning, and thank God Duke didn't go to their three-quarter press because we were down 40 in the blink of an eye. But second half, we were actually going – we did really well in the second half. They finally settled down. We got a little more aggressive, got in the lane. We had a true freshman score 20 in Cameron. When does that happen? So that kid's got a lifetime memory for him and bragging rights. But it was a neat experience. We were really appreciative they took the game.
One other thing about the impact of all this cross-country travel. Dick Christie, athletic director at UNC Pembroke, is here. Do you have to play? This is going to sound weird, but in sports not named football, do you have to play conference games? I mean, does Stanford in soccer, do they have to play in a conference game? Do they have to play Duke and Carolina and Virginia? I mean, they might play them anyway. Duke is actually going out to play Stanford in basketball, women's basketball, on Sunday. That was just a non-conference game scheduled for a while ago. But do you have to, or can you just schedule locally and then, you know, we'll figure out a way to make the conference tournaments work at the end?
That's a great point. I mean, I think you still want the structure of the conference so that the kids have something to shoot for, and you have standings, you have things that keep people interested through the regular season. So, and you know, coaches are always going to lobby for an equal schedule or round robin where they get to see everybody to quote crown a true champion. Interestingly, at our level, we're the first league in D2. We're using KPI to rank our teams out of the regular season for same reason that you're mentioning. I mean, our schools can't afford to travel a long distance. We've needed to grow our geographic footprint to get the right schools in the mix and to find a way to get enough football schools.
Right.
So we've now broken into three divisions. We play heavily in our division and only lightly in the others. And since the schedules are unbalanced, our seeding is based on a KPI algorithm that is only of league play. So we just started that this year. It's been a great addition because it protects our best teams. It puts the top seeds at the top, so they have the best chance to be an at-large team. But, you know, for your teams, we have a division right now of 5. We hope it'll grow to 6 in all three. But they got a chance to win a division championship. So for those 5 teams, you know, until late in the season, you're in the mix. You got something to play for because it's only those division games that'll count towards that piece of the championship. So I think that part, it keeps students engaged. It helps retention, helps coaches whose jobs may be on the line that, you know, I'm in the mix until late. I have a chance to make conference tournament until late. So I do think you want to have that structure. Now, for the top end of D1, when we talk about going to Stanford, a lot of them were doing a West Coast swing anyway in the non-conference.
Oh, sure.
So if they just bag that, it could be cost neutral for the most part. It doesn't necessarily have to be this giant expense and having to go over there and play that one or two games.
All right, final thing. Dick Christie, I appreciate you coming up here. Tell us something that people don't know about Pembroke or just the D2 level.
Ancestry makes the perfect gift to give people because it literally blew my mind.
It's literally like you're giving them something that they would have no knowledge of.
Which is very important because for us to basically be able to find our missing family or to see my indigenous heritage confirmed inside there, it's one gift, but it's so many different things.
Show someone where they came from this holiday season with Ancestry DNA, now on sale at Ancestry.com.
Zicam knows that when you live life to the fullest, you never want to let a cold slow you down. With Zicam's cold shortening products, you can actually shorten colds when taken at the first sign. And with the winter chill in the air, you need the number one cold shortening brand to help shorten a cold when taken at the first sign this season. Because you should never let a cold stop you from missing out on your favorite moments of the season. Find Zicam in your local cold and flu aisle.
I think people don't realize that athletics at this level actually makes business sense for the university, mm-hmm. right? So if, like, take football, for instance, right? Everybody says everybody spends so much money on football. Now, football is expensive. Right. But for us, those kids being on campus actually brings more money in. Sure. If you count room and board, if you count dining, if you count what they mm-hmm. spend in Pembroke, D2 is all partial scholarships. So for us, when you recruit a kid, it's very much a handshake agreement. They've got something at stake. A lot of them are having to, you know, work with the family or take out loans or use their Pell mm-hmm. Grant. And we have something at stake. So there's a little bit more accountability on both sides. And those students typically outperform the other students academically. So if we didn't have athletics, we lose 300-400 of some of the best students that we have in the classroom. It affects the academic environment, yep. affects a lot of things. So people don't usually realize that. You just have that automatic stigma of big-time athletics, and it's 180 degrees from that. And that's what's kept me there. It's a very easy to see what the value that you're bringing and what you're doing for the kids.
And so many of the bigger schools use the threat of cutting sports when actually the sports you're probably cutting are probably costing you money when you cut them.
And that's been the case, you know, unfortunately yeah. across the system, there's probably 20 sports that, and we're guilty of it as well. I mean, people have probably tried to cut 20 in the last 6 years, and the legislative environment and the legal environment right now, it's a non-starter. So you got to find a way to fund it in a way mm-hmm. that makes sense.
Dick Christie, athletic director at UNC Pembroke. I thank you very much. It's a good helmet. Very cool. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, appreciate it. This was our last game, American Indian Heritage Day. This was actually featured on SportsCenter.
Look at that.
In a partnership with the Lumbee Tribe.
What kind of financial arrangement do you have to make, or is it just you're honoring them and they understand it?
So the town of Pembroke is actually a corporate partner of ours,
okay.
and the tribe is based in the town.
Yeah.
So through their game day sponsorship, we were given approval from the tribe to use that. It's the first time we've put it on the helmet and gear up on SportsCenter featured it, which was great. They had the full uniform kit, and we got a lot of great traction that D2 usually doesn't get that exposure. So it's neat for our kids to be able to see that.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks a bunch.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.